Joyful. Everybody say it with me. Joyful. We're not talking about being joyful. We're talking about being full of joy. This is our last session. I'm kind of sad. We've been in Philippians now for several months, and we've been using this little magic trick thing that I'm still surprised. I have people still come to me last week saying, I really don't know how that works. So I've been a little surprised by that. But you get the analogy here that we as believers, we have constant joy. We have constant joy flowing out of our lives, and to the world, they look at us and they don't understand. They just see the joy flowing and they're like, how can that be? They're amazed by that. But we know the secret is that we are truly plumbed in to the source of joy. Amen? We have our joy in Jesus Christ. Now, because of that, and knowing that our future is secure, knowing that no matter how bad our situations might get, nothing can steal our joy, right? It can change your happiness. You know, that's so temporary, right? I know so many parents today are just so worried that their kids are happy. You know what? You don't worry so much about your kids being happy all the time, because happiness is so temperamental. It's based on circumstances. It comes and it goes based on what you're going through. Our joy can't be taken away from us. Amen? We have an eternal joy because of what we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we've been talking about. I experienced joy yesterday. I'm telling you, it's true. Remember when you were in college or a little above that age and your parents started saying weird things like, don't buy me anything, just come. Because just having you here is a gift. Remember you heard that and you're like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Stuff is important. Well, I'm at that age now where I'm just like, no, really, I don't need more stuff. Please, no more stuff. But the joy of having the people dearest to you. What a joy. What a great, great day yesterday. I'm just thrilled with that. I hope you're experiencing joy to its fullest as well. We're at the end of Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians 4, 10 through 23. So if you want to meet me there, Philippians 4, 10 through 23. Hope you got a copy of the scriptures. If not, there are some Bibles tucked under the seats in certain places. Or if you have a gadget, go there as well. But we're going to be reading Philippians 4, 10 through 23. Let's pray us in this morning. If you're willing to do this, I'd ask you to pray this prayer. You don't have to say anything out loud. But if you could just say, God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I'm willing to listen. And God, I pray that you would be glorified, that everyone hearing this message would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joyful. A generous and content life. We've gone through the whole book. I've been telling you that I believe Paul, his theme was very clear about joy. How many times? 14 times we've heard the word rejoice. And I believe it's been every time I've got up to read the portion we're going to preach, there's been at least one rejoice, joy. I believe that's been his theme. Now we come to the last message, and here comes the secret to joy. We've been waiting for it, right? We've been talking about joy. We've been hearing about joy. But today, I think I want to be able to reveal to you what Paul's version of having joy starts with. And it might surprise you. And I'm going to give you a warning ahead of time, right? Sometimes I got to do this when we're going to talk about sensitive topics. This one's not a sensitive topic, but I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. I'm going to mess with your favorite verse. Today we're going to be reading Philippians 4:13. How many of you have Philippians 4:13 as your greatest verse, your favorite verse? You're not going to do it now because you're like, I have no idea what he's going to say. He's setting me up, all right? How many of you have the tattoo? See, I'm going to be careful because if you got the Philippians 4:13 tattoo, you don't have to go and erase that tattoo today, but I am going to mess with you a little bit. I might be stepping on your little toes a little bit on this one verse, but it's okay. I'm going to redeem it. We're going to be okay, right? We're going to be okay, but we're going to talk about it. So let's go through the passage now that I've set you up, whetted the appetite. Philippians 4, 10 through 23. I rejoiced greatly. Uh-oh, we went past it. Rejoiced. Everybody say joy. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, You were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I deserve your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice and pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings, and all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Hang up. You ever talk to somebody on the phone, just can't quit? Yeah, I got a couple people in my life that I'm on the phone with, and they'll talk, and they end every sentence with "and." So they'll be like, "and." Then they keep going. But you can't stop them because they just said "and." They're going to say more, right? Paul does that at the end of every letter. You think he's got it wrapped up, and then he's like, "Well, I got to say goodbye because Paul didn't do it." And let's one more time. Goodbye. Click. We've heard all of Philippians. Is it true? What I've been saying for all these weeks, is it true? I've seen some of you reposting it, so I'm thankful. Satisfaction in Jesus is far better than anything this world can offer. Say it with me. Satisfaction in Jesus is far better than anything this world can offer. All right, that was a little weak. But I hope you believe it's true. I hope you believe it's true because it comes down. I've been setting you up since the beginning. This is the secret of joy. This becomes the secret to having joy full. So in this passage, the big idea is final words. Philippians 4, 10 through 23. Let's take it verse by verse. In Philippians 4, 10 through 12, we learn to be content. Everybody say content. Amen. Not just being content, but content whatever the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances. Are you content? Now, content can be a dirty word today in America because we've learned that we've got to pull ourselves up by the bootstrap. We got to work ourselves to the bone. We got to grind, and grow our portfolio. And I'm not going to discourage you from giving effort. I'm never going to encourage Christians just to sit at home and say, "God, give me what I need. I'm just going to sit here on the couch. Give me what." No, it's okay to apply yourself and work hard. It's okay to do that. Not at the neglect of your spiritual life, not at the neglect of your family, but it is okay to go and earn. Some of you have worked very hard, and you have lots. Here's what the Bible says. For those who are affluent, it's harder for you. It's just true. With affluence comes the danger of discontentment. When is enough enough? Is enough ever enough? And we're going to learn that in this passage, Paul starts getting us thinking about contentment, no matter whatever this. What's Paul's circumstances as he writes this? Do you remember? Chained to a Roman guard, 18 inches away, 24/7. In jail, in house arrest. No way to provide, but he has to pay for the house, and he has to pay for his food, and so he's relying on everybody else, and so he has need. And he talks about that. And some people read this and think, "Oh no, he sounds like a televangelist. Paul's asking for more money, right? But if you listen to what he's talking about here, he makes sure they understand, I have plenty. I'm all set. I'm not so worried about how much you give me. I'm just thankful you're going to be blessed. That's what his focus is. His focus is God will bless you because you've been so good to me. Servant of God, God will bless you. He said, I'm more concerned that it's added to your account, the giving part. He's not concerned about the gift. He loves the giving part because God blesses that. So contentment in any situation. So what are we learning? As we wrap up this whole thing in Philippians, what we see is we constantly are confronted with two temptations. We talked about one last week. Pastor Ted talked about it this morning. We're going to talk about another one today. The two things that we're constantly tempted to turn to is anxiety and discontentment. Remember last week, do not be anxious for anything. Really? But in everything. Really, Paul, that's hard. Always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. By the way, thank you. On Tuesday night, before the election was even full-blown, I sent the video out of you singing that song last week. And you did a good job, by the way. Within 5 minutes, I received a video back from one of our small groups, and they sang it back to me. I wish I'd had it before, because they had harmony. It turns out it's a lot of our worship team on this small group, and they did a beautiful, I wish I could have sent that to you. But that whole idea of rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. How do we get there? We learn to be content. One of the things that could steal your joy is anxiety. Paul knows that. And he reminds us, don't be anxious for anything. But with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. He gave us the remedy for anxiety right there. How do we remedy anxiety? We get our focus back on the Lord. Not what our problem is. We do a lot of focusing on our problems, don't we? You can focus on a problem, or you can focus on the one who can do great things. Isn't it amazing how great God is and what God can do? That's the remedy for anxiety. And now he comes to the big important one. The thing that will steal your joy, rob you, and make you live dry as a bone instead of flowing with joy. It's discontentment. Simply, it's discontentment. Here's what anxiety says. To the question, will I have enough to survive? Anxiety says, maybe not, or probably not. Where am I glass half empty again, people? Go ahead and admit it. Who's my glass half empty? I'm a glass half empty guy. I'm always worried, right? I'm always thinking about, oh no, oh no, oh no. That's what anxiety answers. Maybe not, probably not. That's anxiety. What does discontentment say? Do I have enough to make me happy? What does discontentment say? No, not enough yet. Just a little more. Enough is never enough. And what are we learning through this whole book of Philippians is Paul has been teaching. It's not the circumstances. If the circumstances control you, then you don't have it. Circumstances will come and go. What did Paul say? I've been well-fed, and I've been without food. I've had plenty, I've had nothing. And then he says this, but I've learned to be content in all circumstances. Friends, are you content today? Are you content? That brings us to the most misused verse in all of Scripture. Take a look at your verse. I don't know what translation you have. All of the translations do one thing, and the NIV does the other thing. I read out of the NIV today. Let me read it for you again. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What does your version say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What's the big deal? Listen, stick with me. I don't want anybody getting up and leaving mad at me because I ruined your verse. I'm just going to tell you, this might not be the verse to to say what you want it to. But there are verses that do tell us the truth about strength coming from the Lord. We're going to use those verses today too, right? But this verse does not teach I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. As if God wrote you a blank check and you can fill out the number. He signed it, a blank check, and you can determine the amount of strength you need and you can cash that check for any situation. And what situations does this verse come up most? In the gym. Tell me the truth, Tim May. Did you quote this verse to yourself when you went to do the Iron Man? I could see Tim May getting ready for the Iron Man, going to the gym saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we see it in the gym. We see it in the locker room. We see it on football players who put the black cane on their face. I'm not going to pick on my boy. But my boy got famous from having Philippians 4:13 above his eyes, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm talking about Tim Tebow. Remember Tim? And I love Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's great. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, except become an NFL player of any worth. What happens when it doesn't end up being what you want? Is the verse wrong, or have we taken it out of context? You need to really pay attention in this passage of what Paul was saying. He didn't say God gives you a blank check so that you can do anything. Anything you want to be good at, I can be good at it because Christ gives me strength. Again, we see it in sports all the time. See that little league player getting up to bat? He wants to hit a home run so bad. And he grabs that bat and he goes to the plate. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. But what about the pitcher who wants to strike him out so bad? And he's saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Somebody's either going to hit a home run or strike out. Is God with the one and not with the other? See, friends, we got to be careful when we interpret Scripture that we don't just misinterpret. And we use something the way it wasn't intended to be used. And again, I'm sorry if this is your favorite verse. It can still be your favorite verse. It's just not a blank check. Instead of posting this in the gym, we should be posting this verse in your checkbook. On your computer screen before you open your online accounts. We should be posting it there. We should post it. You should actually take a sticky note and write this verse and put it on your credit card before you go buy more stuff. This verse would be better applied if you put it on your credit card to go fill more spaces with useless stuff. I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. What's the this? I think that's what we got to ask today. So let's deal with this verse. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. If we interpret this verse as I can do all this instead of I can do all things can be blank. We can grab this one verse, yank it out of the Bible, put it on our tattoo, and we can, I can do all things. Well, again, we talked about choir today. When you go to sign up for the Christmas choir, I hope you're not quoting, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I sing terrible, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No. Maybe some things God gifted you and some things he didn't. Right? So don't take this verse to mean all things. Now, I don't want to get into weeds on this, but there's a reason why many verses translate to all things. It's because he was using the all things motif when he talked about stuff. When he was talking about stuff, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. He's talking about all these things that he's going through. Again, he's chained to a Roman guard. He's in house arrest. Circumstances aren't great, but Paul is content. This is the guy who was given a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed on several occasions. Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh, but God chose not to. Paul didn't quote, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No, he was specific about one thing and one thing alone. Contentment. Contentment. This verse is the secret for joy. Because Paul had just in the context said, I've been with, I've been without. I've had plenty, I've had nothing. But I've learned to be content. I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. We get that verse? Is that all okay? I'm walking a tightrope here because I know it's a lot of your favorite verse. And I know that this is like, hit you, and you're like, Pastor, ruin my day. I don't want it to ruin your day. We just have to know what the this is. And the this clearly is contentment. Everybody say contentment. Do I have joy in all circumstances? Because I've learned that when I have that pain in the flesh, I still have joy. Paul did. I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. I can live with pain. I can go to the Lord and ask him to remove it, and he might, but he might not. Am I still okay with God? Is my joy full? This is the secret of joy. It's learning to be content. So it was my birthday yesterday, and I'm just saying, I know you guys got your phones out because you're already playing with the QR code on the Christmas thing. So if anybody wants to go to Amazon, I'd love to get this. I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. If we want to hang on to that sentiment, then we just got to use this. Somebody buy me that mug. Buy me that. And by the way, the person who sent me that was a pastor in town who I had lunch with on Thursday. We got together. We do, every once in a while, we get together. We as pastors want to be united, and we want to serve our people. We're not in competition. We love each other. We love our churches. Amen. And so we were talking about this. And I was talking about what I was preaching on. He said, I preached through this. And then when I got home, he texted me this picture of this mug. And I'm like, that's perfect. I love it. And by the way, that pastor came to our church this morning, Pastor Jesse Holt. Good to have you, Jesse. Good to have you here. Yeah. Don't know idea what's going on at his church today. I don't know what's going on, but he's over here. He didn't have to be at his first service. So I love this, and it's just tongue-in-cheek. It's just for fun. Can I just now share with you to make you feel better? Because I don't want you to go away like, I guess I'm in this on my own. God can't help me. Pastor ruined my favorite verse. I can't do anything now because I have no strength. That's not true. See, the truth is that we do know that Christ is our strength. Amen? We do know that. And so we come across a verse like that, and okay, oh, I get that context, so we take it out of context, and we use it for our context, but there are plenty of verses. Let me go through them. Let me just read you some great verses. Psalm 46:10. God is our refuge and strength. Everybody say strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. There's a verse that says God is your strength. No matter what you're going through, God is your strength. What about Isaiah 40:31? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Everybody say strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. That should have been your verse, Tim May, Iron Man. You want to run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Oh, that's a good one. That would be a great verse for the marathon. How about Isaiah 41:10? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Everybody say strength. And help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then here's a good one, Habakkuk. That'd be a good tattoo anyway, because nobody knows what Habakkuk is or where it's at. So get a good Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Everybody say strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. God is our strength. Amen. He is our strength. And circumstances go south, don't they? So we call on the Lord to give us strength. But we don't want to take a verse out of context and have it say something it doesn't mean. We almost have that mentality that if anything goes wrong, God will make it better right away. Because I've got this magic genie in a bottle. And all I got to do is rub it. And we got that weird mentality. And so I think one of the things that new believers end up struggling over is like, wait a second, what did I buy into here? I thought God was going to make everything perfect in my life, and they're still struggling with problems. Well, it's true that God says in Scripture, He is our strength. He's your strength in times of weakness. He's your strength when things go wrong. He doesn't promise to fix all things, but he promises to be your strength. I love that. I'm okay with that. I'm thankful to have a God who says there are going to be difficulties. We hear it in Scripture all the time, all throughout Scripture. Why are you surprised at this fiery ordeal you're going through as if something strange were happening to you? God actually promises us believers we're going to have hard, hard days. And we can rely on him for strength. He didn't give us a blank check saying, I'm going to fix all things. But he promises to be with us in all things. How did Paul get to be Paul? How did he get to be there? It was a life of struggle. It was a life of sacrifice. He said, I've had plenty of food, and I've gone without. I've had plenty of stuff, and I've had nothing. But I've learned to be content in all situations. Well, I hope you guys survived that. You're going to be okay. And if you want to still display Philippians 4:13, amen, it's fine. He wraps up the whole thing by saying, thank you for sharing. He really goes to these people. And again, as a pastor, he's showing his love and contentment with them as a people. And they are his joy, his crown, all the things that we heard last week. He says, thank you for sharing. And then he tells them, you're giving, not just I received. He doesn't put the emphasis on what he received. He puts the emphasis on their giving. And he says, your giving was a fragrant offering. Fragrant offering. Man, I'm just going to tell you, if you've never been to Bacon Bible, what a wonderful thing. Maybe it's just me, but fresh coffee was brewed and bacon comes. Is there anything better than those two smells? Bacon and coffee. I walk into Bacon and Bible and I'm like, a glimpse of heaven, right? Just a glimpse of heaven. It's beautiful. Paul is reminding them that to God, they're giving, they're sacrificing for the ministry. That was a fragrant offering to God. God said, oh, that's beautiful. He says it's an acceptable sacrifice. We know from the beginning of the Bible that sacrifices that are given that are God doesn't accept those sacrifices. That we had a problem with what we had. Who were the first two? The boys? Cain and Abel, right? Do you remember which one killed? You'd go Cain, right? Because Cain caned Abel. So Cain caned his brother, and we remember what that whole thing was over. Sacrifices. One gave of the best, one gave. And God did not accept the sacrifice, that the offering that came as like an offering. And then resentment came. Paul tells his people, your giving is a fragrant offering to God. It's acceptable sacrifice. And lastly, it is pleasing to God. That's what he's telling the people. And he's trying to get them to understand that sacrifice leads to joy. It really does. That's what Paul's example here is for us. Sacrifice leads to joy. And then in Philippians 4:19, he says, my God will meet all your needs. We need to remember that God's going to determine what the need is. God determines a need versus a want. God never promises to give us all of our wants, but he promises to meet our needs. And your needs are the most important thing. The rest is icing, right? My God will supply all your needs. That's what I worry about, friends. Eyeballs here for a second. I worry about that in American culture. When's the last time you really had need? Right? That's why I say the Lord's Prayer doesn't make sense in America. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Any of you don't have bread, or you already have it in the fridge? Is it there? Is it there for today? Is it there for you? Already set? You already all taken care of? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. When we don't have need, when we live constantly without need, who is God to you? So Paul is trying to get them to understand that it's a blessing when we're blessed and have abundance, but it's also okay if we have need. It's also okay if we have need. But God will determine what those needs are versus our wants. He's not that genie in a bottle. He's not the cosmic Santa Claus that we go to and pray and say, hey, fix this, or I want this. Sometimes he lets us go through need to experience him fully. Paul was relying completely on God, wasn't he, in this jail? And Paul found the secret is joy is when you're content in all circumstances and you are okay. He's okay. Sacrificing, giving all of himself, he's found that he is without need, right? If you've been a parent, how many times have your kids come to you, I need this. I need this. Every time the new iPhone comes out, I can't use this old thing. It's worthless. It's a dumb phone. I got to have the new. I need. If you got the newest phone, that's okay. But if you don't, it's okay. Are you content? Julie and I have experienced this in ministry. Ministry is an awesome thing. I'm sure, Jesse, you've experienced these times as a pastor when it's thin, right? And you just, when we were missionaries, I tell the story all the time, to give glory to God because of the gift, not about us. But we were missionaries, and we just left our ministry. Again, I lived in a parsonage, which is a free house for pastors. I lived in a parsonage. I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and God called us away from that. And so I was going to lose the salary, and I was going to lose the house. And now I would have no salary, and the church offered us to let us buy the house. Now, if you do math, I don't know, Kenny, if you're in your mind thinking about how I'm going to do this, salary, free house, now no salary, buy the house, those are some dangerous times. But that's where we were. We believe God called us out to do this, and I was going to travel. I was an international youth speaker for 5 years, traveled the world, took kids on missions trip, and we took God, we were excited. It's fun to live out on the limb with God. It kind of is fun. You're kind of like, God, this is scary and fun all at the same time. And it's fun until you get far enough out on that limb and you're like, wait a second, I might crash here. And you've heard me tell the story, but praise God, I'm going to tell it again because give God the glory. We ended up traveling camp after camp after camp, and I ended up in Pennsylvania at speaking at a teen conference, and we were bone dry. We had used up all the money we had. Literally, we had no money for gas. Like, okay, Lord, we're here. You better give us something to get us to the next spot because we're out. And to make it worse, my wife came to me and said, all of our clothes are dirty. Our clothes are dirty. We haven't done laundry at any of these last camps, and we stinketh. That's King James Version. We stinketh. And so I've got to do laundry. I'm like, well, do some laundry. I could tell she's getting on me, so I'm getting a little defensive. So just do the laundry. I had to get up and speak. I was scheduled in the next hour. I got to speak, and here she is giving me a hard time about laundry. I'm like, well, do laundry. She goes, we got a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? The laundromat here takes quarters. And she looked at me, and she said, and we don't have quarters. We have nothing. I mean, it finally got to her. Like, we're living out on the limb here. And I remember that feeling because as men, you know, that's a button to push where you're like, I'm not providing. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting mad. And I'm like, I'm really actually starting to get mad at God. I'm like, God, you put me out on this limb. I'm like, I'm supposed to supply all your needs. What is this all about, God? Come on. And I looked at Julie and I'm like, I got to go speak. You got to just pray for quarters. So I looked her in the face. Just pray for quarters. And I slammed the door and I went and spoke Jesus. Amen. You just never know what the preacher's going through when he gets up to speak. I had no idea how God was going to take care of that. It was scary. And it challenged my joy. It got me to the point where I had to answer the question, are you content? Because now you get to experience the without. You've been really good, Don, with all the with. Oh, you're good, Don, when it comes to having all the with. You're so wonderful and positive. Here's without. Can you still preach? Can you still say God is good? I preached that night. I don't remember anything I said. It was heavy on my heart. And as after you speak with teens, kids line up and they want to talk. My kids were with me, and they learned that you never leave dad alone because he's never going to be alone with a teenager. So they would sit and just wait, you know, and like, oh, come on, dad. So I'm talking to kid after kid after kid. Then it's talking and talking. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, where am I going to get quarters? This is bad. We got to do something. My wife, I got to go back and face her. I don't know how I'm going to answer this question. But I'm talking to kid after kid and praying with them. And this little blonde girl, junior high age, probably eighth grade at the most, she's waiting, purposefully waiting, like she was standing there, but other kids would come, and she waited until everybody was gone. And she just walked up to me, and she said, Pastor, I don't know you, and I don't know why I'm doing this, but God told me to do this. When I was at home, before I got here, God told me to bring this, and tonight he told me why to bring it. He said to give it to you. And so she held out her hand. And I reached my hand out, and this little blonde girl put a roll of quarters in my hand. A roll of quarters. And she looked at me, she said, I hope you don't think I'm stupid. I looked at her, I said, honey, I gave her a big hug. I said, you have no idea what God just did through you. To tell a girl before she went to a conference to take a roll of quarters, and she didn't know why, to wait until after a message, and I didn't speak about her need, by the way. They didn't hear about that. And she put it in my hand, and immediately I was humbled to know that it's true. God will supply all your needs. He didn't buy me a new wash and dryer. He gave me quarters. I remember I was like, on cloud nine. I floated back to the dormitory and immediately went to my wife and I was like, oh, like the beam of light came down from heaven and shined on these quarters. I said, look, I told her, this little girl, she brought these from home and she had no idea why. We didn't even talk about this need. They had no idea what our need was. And this girl, God told this girl to give us this. And I gave him, I said, honey, here's the quarters. And we learned a lesson. Next time, pray for checks and dollars, not quarters. Who'd have known what I'd got if I'd said the right prayer? But he delivered all my needs. Everybody say needs. Is that enough for you? Is that enough? If it's not enough, you might get cut off, I guess. Joy might not flow. He offers us this beautiful supply of joy, but his way. So I don't know what it is for you today. I don't know what to tell you. But I would put Philippians 4:13 in your checkbook, and I would tape it to your credit card. And I would ask you to go through that grid of, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. What is this? I can be content with what I have because I'm a child of God. I'm safe and secure. He will supply all my needs. I'm good. I'm good. And that's what he ends with. May God be glorified always. Is your life bringing God glory? I'm going to have the team come up and close us with a song. And I specifically added this song late this week. I asked Tracy if there's a way they could pull this off because it's one of my favorite songs. And it's a song that we need to get our focus back, right? What did God say when our anxiety's off the chart? Your focus got off. Put your focus back on me. So I want to end our series in Philippians with the focus on God's version of joy is contentment. Learned contentment. And how do we find that? Well, we find that when we get our focus off of what we want, and we put our focus back on what God has already given. Why? Because our God is good. Amen? Are you ready? God is good. Amen. And all the time? Let's do it one more time. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
It's the goodness of God.